Kurt Angle on the phone?
It's true.
It's true. It's true.
It's true. It's true. Kurt Angle, bitch.
He's on the...
I got him on 9 and 8.
I'm just messing with you. I'm online. Hello? Yeah. Who am I speaking with? Mitch Cumstein.
This is Evel Knievel, and if I ever see you, you motherfucker, I'll rip your fucking head. Stop calling me on the phone, you motherfucker.
You guys, man. No wonder you're on satellite.
Yeah, because we got fucking thrown off of regular radio, fined $750,000, and now we're where we can be even dirtier and make more money.
So you're poor and you're on satellite.
No, I said we can even make more money, have hot whores in here, get into all kind of situations that you've gotten yourself into trouble over the road on the road, and you know, have fun. Kurt Angle, one of our favorite all times, Brent. He's the kind of guy that remember he used to talk about. He used to actually get heat with all the things he would talk about on our regular show. Remember how much?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Now, Angle, we got to open up the interview with first the obvious. What happened?
What happened?
I mean, you were making.
Today, I actually tripped on. Oh, not today.
I mean, you were Vince's guy. You were making.
Screw him.
No, you were making all this money. You were. You know, I mean, one of the highest paid, one of the most popular,
one of the hardest working,
yep. hardest working.
Yep.
Made it to the top faster than anybody, and then yep. I mean, shoot style. What happened?
You know, a lot of things happened, Bub. You know, to be serious, just wasn't getting treated right. You know, here's a guy I had 5 different neck injuries, and he just was slaving me on the road. Every TV show, I was main event 30 minutes. You know, I was main event in every house show, and you know, and
working your ass off.
But, I was also, you know, they were having me do appearances on the side. And I was never home. My wife and I separated for a while, and we smartened up and got back together. And she's pregnant again, by the way. We're having a baby in the next month.
Now, hold on. Which one, Karen or your other wife?
Karen.
Congratulations.
Now, see, that in itself is a whole big controversy that I've heard all kinds of shit about. So now
you know what? Most of it's untrue. The only thing is we got separated once, and we got back together, and you know what? To be honest with you, I think Vince would have been happy if I would have gotten divorced, because then he could have used me 365 days a year.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a scuttlebutt, because you know, man, we're the biggest shooters out there, and we just say it like it is. That's what you love about us. There was an ongoing scuttlebutt for years that Vince had the hots for Karen and was trying to hook up with her.
You know what? No, he used to tell her that she was hotter than any diva he's ever had.
Well, I used to tell you that, too.
Every time he saw her, he said the same thing. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Vince and I, we had a great relationship, man. We were, you know, we were cool, and everything was good. It's just, you know, somewhere along the line, you know, we kind of lost communication with each other. You know, I had my pill problem, and, you know, and I wanted to go to rehab, and he wouldn't let me, and he wanted me to rehab by myself on the road. I was like, gosh, dang, man. And I asked my doctor, and he's like, no one's ever done that. And, you know, 3 days later, I had to wrestle John Cena. Vince was like, you've got to make this kid look good, because we need him at WrestleMania. We're looking for him to be the champion. And if he doesn't look good tonight, then we're screwed. And, you know, me going through a draw, I was ready to drop my face, and I went 37 minutes with him, and I made him look like a damn king. And then, you know, it was just like, you know, now can I rest? No, you got to go down to Baltimore because John Heidenreich's blood pressure's high, and we need someone to substitute him. I'm like, damn, man, what the hell is going on here? You got to be effing kidding me. And so I did that match, and, you know, and the withdrawal was hard, and I held it against Vince for a long time. And then, you know, as I was going along, I noticed that, you know, a lot of political stuff was going on up there, and you obviously know that whole story. But,
and we'll get into that. I mean, now, obviously, is Triple H, Kurt, is Triple H the cancer? Every person that
he's not the cancer. He's a great wrestler. He's a great entertainer. But, I mean, he hogs the show. He writes the show. I mean, he's part of the writing team. I mean, come on, give me a break. I mean, you know, a wrestler in that position should not be writing the show.
Yeah.
He should just play his part and do his part.
I mean, I've never known of any person, whether it be Stone Cold or The Rock or Hogan, I've never known anybody or you, anybody that's been over like $1 million, any of the big icons in the industry that ever were part of the writing team.
Well, the thing is, like, he would let guys, you know, like he put Benoit over at WrestleMania and let him make him tap. Now, Chris is by far one of the greatest wrestlers ever. But Chris also, you know, that one charismatic side of him, you know, you never see. So, you know, Chris is limited to just going out and wrestling. And that's what he does best, you know. So Triple H didn't think of him as a threat. John Cena, very charismatic, can't wrestle that well. He lets John Cena make him tap at WrestleMania. But you know what? Not once did Triple H let me make him tap because he knew I had the whole ball of wax and I was a threat to taking his position, if you want to call it that. So, you know, he's been very smart about putting certain guys over because he knew that those guys aren't going to take his spot. But certain guys he wouldn't because he knew that those guys could take his spot.
I mean,
you know, he was very smart, very selective about what he did with everybody. And, you know, Triple H, he's a very intelligent individual. There's no doubt about it. And he has a good mind for wrestling. And I think he's going to be better for the sport when he retires and he's on the sideline and he's teaching and he's writing and doing everything else and he's not involved.
He's not trying to put himself over all the time?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I respect him for his ability in the sport. Do I respect him as a person? No.
Would you kick his ass? Would you kick his ass shoot style?
Well, that's what happened. Like at one point when I started out, he kept telling Vince he's too small in the meetings. He kept saying Angle's too small. And finally, Jerry Briscoe stood up and said, Triple H, what do you think would happen if you got in a ring with him in a shoot fight? And Triple H put his head down. Vince goes, okay, we're going to make Angle the champion.
Now, Angle, there's all kinds of, you know, we actually talked about it before when we had the show. There's all kinds of urban legends. Even Big Show, when we had Big Show on, said, you can get in there, shoot style, and kick anybody's ass. Lesnar thought he was tough. You went in there and took him down 6 times in a row. I mean,
yeah.
Are the guys, did they ever try to, you know, always pack you up against somebody to kick their ass?
No, the only one I had a problem with was Big Show because he's so damn big. But he'd always ask me to teach him wrestling moves. I said, "F you're not learning. I'm never gonna let you learn because you'll kick my ass."
Now, if he ever got on top, like if in a referee position and you were down and he was up on top of you, could he crush you or could you get out of it?
No, I'd get out in a second.
How?
Yeah, I would take him down, but I couldn't take him down with strength. I'd fake somewhere, and he would react and fall to his knees, and then I'd spin behind him, you know, because the guy his side. But Brock, I saw Brock literally manhandle him. And I was like, damn. I said, this kid is a real deal.
Manhandled
Big
Show?
Wrestle me. I said, Big Show, leave. Big Show was on the other side of Brock. I said, get out of the ring. And Brock wouldn't face me in the ring. He kept dodging me. So I got in the ring, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, it's time. And he went, oh, shit. So we started wrestling. I beat the hell out of him. And you know, that's when the thing got around that, you know, Kurt Angle's a man and nobody, you know, nobody can get in there with him. And, but you know what? Big Show's a great guy. He was actually my best friend up there, man.
Big Show's a good guy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I love him.
And, you know, that's another person. I'm going to stick up for Big Show, and I think he's getting a pretty good push right now. But Vince has, you know what? Vince has, in my opinion, the WWE, I'm not going to make it personal, but the WWE has mishandled Paul from the get-go. They should have
without a doubt.
You know, here's a guy that's just, you know, physically overbearing. They should have made him, nobody can beat him. They should have made him, you know.
Yeah.
They should have made.
And he can work.
Yeah,
the damn guy can work. And, you know what? He's an excellent athlete. And I kept telling him, show, dude. You got to talk to Vince, and he didn't want to talk to Vince, and he's like, you know what, he's going to use me. I said, you know what, you're better off going over to Japan. They'll make you into a monster, what you really are. You won't have more than 30-second matches.
Right.
And they'll pay you 6 figures a match over there.
You're kidding me.
Oh, yeah, Big Show would make more money than any guy over there in the history of the business because of his size, because he knows how to wrestle. He knows how to work in the ring. And he doesn't want to do that. And I'm like, you know what? What's wrong with taking six trips over there and making more money than you do in WWE? I mean, you know, it's 12 days total, including travel.
Right.
A year. I said, you know, Big Show, his favorite thing to do is just to sit on his ass and bask in the sun. You know? So he's got 350 days to do that, you know? But
now, what's up with Lesnar? You know, is he making a comeback, or is he going to, I mean,
what? Yeah, yeah. Him and I almost signed a deal to fight in February for K1.
Really?
Yeah, that now that would have been kick ass.
No, but
they were looking for the buy rate to be to the roof.
So shoot style.
I talked to UFC. They wanted me to fight for them. They told me it would be the biggest buy rate. They didn't have an opponent. They weren't sure who to fight. But
now, how good are you though, Kurt? How good are you? Obviously, we know how good you are on the ground. I mean, you know, a world, you know, Olympic.
Well, I've been working on my jiu-jitsu, my striking, and actually doing really good. Because that's what I wanted to do. That's one thing I got robbed out of. When I got out of the Olympics, UFC just started on the rise. So I was ready to sign a contract, and then all these states banned it. And then it kind of went downhill, and I was like, gosh, man, they're not going to make it.
And now it's
so
the hottest thing going.
I signed WWE, and then UFC, you know, Dana White took over, and he made it a monster market, and it shot back up, and I was like, damn, it passed me by, you know? So I was like, now I'm 37. Yeah, I can fight, but I only got one fight left in me. And if I do it, I'm going to be very particular on who it is.
How about Liddell?
How much I get paid? And
could you fight Liddell? Could you beat Liddell's ass?
Well, Liddell's in a lighter weight class. I'd have to get my weight down. One thing I wouldn't do that Couture did is he tried to go toe to toe with him striking. Fuck that.
Say it.
You know what? I'd have Liddell on his ass the whole time, because, like, Randy's a great wrestler, but he's not nearly as quick and as agile as I am. Like, I can actually shoot a double leg or a single leg and take you down. If you blink, you'll miss it. That's
kinda
how quick I am.
Kind of like how fast Matt Hughes is.
Well, Matt Hughes has a lot of respect for me because he knows how. I had my manager talk to him at the Olympia, and he's like, man, Kurt would eat people alive here because of his quickness. And, you know, Liddell wouldn't even know what hit him when I attacked him. And you know, as long as I kept him on the ground, you know, I would never try to fight him on my feet.
Now
that's where Randy made the mistake, and that's not like Randy. Randy's a student of the game. He knows how to fight different people. I've seen him take out people that were supposed to annihilate him, and basically, he played into Chuck Liddell's game and tried to go striking. And I'm like, I wouldn't stand that. That guy belongs in, you know, he could be a heavyweight champion right now with the way the heavyweights are in pro boxing. I said, I am not going to fight a striker standing up. I'm gonna go down around his ankles, around his knees, and hold on. You know, I'm gonna take him down, ground and pound him.
How about like a Tito? How about like a Tito Ortiz, who historically was a pretty good wrestler?
Tito, I have a lot of respect for, but he's a guy I wanted to fight because of his charisma.
Right, he's got a lot of charisma.
Yeah. And
now, would you kill him, Kurt? Would you kill him?
6 months training, I could beat him. But Tito Ortiz, you got to understand, he's only 31 years old. I'm 37, and I've been through pro wrestling, which is a lot harder than mixed martial arts. As far as taking a toll on your body, it's a lot harder on your body. But Tito has a bad back. Now, I'm not making an excuse for Tito, but, you know, he only has a few more fights left in him. So, people, if you're going to watch Tito, watch every fight he has, because I don't know how long of a career that kid has, because his back is messed up.
Yeah,
he's been fighting with a bad back for the last year. And I don't know, God willing, you know, he can rehabilitate and come back. But, you know, he's been going hard and heavy for a long time, and he, you know, his back isn't getting any better. And I pray to God that he's healthy enough to go for another 5 years, because that kid is just so much fun to watch.
He's actually
good. And I remember when Randy Couture beat the hell out of him, was spanking him in the ass at the end. I was like, wow, I never thought anyone would punk out Ortiz, you know?
We actually, he's a good friend of the show. We had him in studio a couple Thursdays ago, and then we just did our show live. You don't understand, we are in so good with the UFC. We just did our show live from Mandalay Bay last Saturday for 4 hours.
Oh, awesome, man. You know what? if you ever talk to Tito, man, tell him I said hi, and I love his work, and I respect him, and tell him I'd like to fight him.
Now, listen, do you know how big? Now, he's fighting Liddell New Year's Eve. Did you know that?
Yeah, December 30th.
Well, you know what? He's got a chance as long as he doesn't try to strike with him.
Yeah, now, we had Liddell last Saturday, Kurt. We had Liddell and Tito in the same studio.
Holy shit.
Four feet apart, and Liddell, I mean, it was uncomfortable being in there.
And you know what? Yeah, don't let them fool you, man. They're not gonna start throwing blows in the studio. One,
were they working us?
Lawsuits too, because they are signed to a contract to not touch each other outside the ring, and that contract is we're talking like that's a contract. If you disobey it, they'll drop you like a or fine you. They'll fine you for a whole fight. You have to fight without getting paid, but. You know, those guys are both monsters. Those guys right now are the two top guys in the business, besides Matt Hughes. Matt Hughes is real small.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the size of him.
Well, he was in our studio last Saturday. I was shoulder to shoulder, but he's still a stud.
Oh, yeah. You should have seen him in college in wrestling. He was a damn stud, man.
Now, where did you wrestle
at? I loved watching him wrestle.
Where did you wrestle collegiately at?
You son of a bitch. You should know that. I'm the only wrestler to win Olympic gold medal from a small school. I went to Clarion University.
I did not know that. I did not work. I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought
every other wrestler's been from Oklahoma State, Iowa, Arizona
Minnesota.
State, you know, UNC. Me, I'm from this little tiny town in Pennsylvania. And what I did is I never stopped wrestling year round. After my season, I go out to the Olympic Training Center. I go up to Bruce Baumgartner's and train him. Your college buddy.
Indiana State.
Yeah. And then I go train with Dominic Black down in West Virginia, who was an All-American in college. He actually almost made the Olympic team the last Olympic.
Now, let me ask you a question, Kurt. Did you own Baumgartner, or did he own you when you guys used to train?
He beat me about 60% of the time. The other 40, I beat him, but he was just so... See, you got to understand, I only weighed 200 pounds.
Right.
Bruce weighed 305, and that son of a bitch, like... Nobody could take me down. If they got a deep double leg on me, my hips were so strong, and my legs, I just hip in and knock them right on their ass, and I'd end up on top of them. With Bruce, he used to shoot, and he used to overextend himself, and he was like a bear. He'd just take his hands, and he'd slowly just bring your legs in, and then he'd grab your legs, and he'd just crumble you to the ground. He wouldn't even move. He'd just shoot, stop, and just pull in, and just hold your legs until they almost broke, until you fell. I mean, he was a monster. But when I got moving on him, you know, I started getting the best of him. And, you know, I'd say most of the time he got me, because the size-wise, I just couldn't go with him. As far as, you know, if we were the same weight, I would have beaten Bruce.
Now, Kurt, have you talked to Dana about that? I mean,
Dana and I flew out to Vegas. I had he set me up, and, oh, man, this hotel was... something rock. Red Rock.
Right.
What a hotel. Red Rock. It's the hottest hotel out there. He put me in a penthouse. We had a meeting, a lunch meeting. He offered me an 8-year deal, one fight, but after that I would have to sit in the audience at every fight and be present. And I mean, the deal was, I will just say that it was double figures in the millions.
Well, why, you fucking idiot? Why didn't you take it?
Because my life has more of a purpose than sitting and watching guys fight.
Okay.
You know, Dana is a great guy, and he's done a tremendous job with UFC, but I didn't want to be owned again by anybody. I was owned by Vince once. Ain't going to happen again.
Yeah, but I mean, the UFC...
See,
I mean,
TNA, who's going to be the number one wrestling show within a year or two, which, by the way, Bubba, I want to invite you up, put you on the show. Okay?
Excellent.
Yeah, we're going to primetime starting November, bro.
Yeah, November 16th.
Maybe I can do a run-in. Yeah. Maybe you can be down. I can do a run-in and blast somebody over the fucking head or something and save the day.
Yeah, all I want to do is I want to give you a German right on your head and an ankle lock you.
No, let's see. No, why is it gotta, why do I got to fucking do a job for you? I want to fucking be over.
If I can get my arms around that fat damn waist, unless you lost your weight.
Listen,
kept it off.
I'm 256 pounds, bitch.
All right, my man.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm fucking jacked up.
You
baby.
Know what? I'm 245. We're almost in the same weight class.
Jesus, fatso. What's going on?
I got fat. You know what? I don't get fat. I just get thicker. Like I got a six pack, and it just goes over my fat. I'm like the Iron Sheik. I got this belly sticks out. I got the abs on top of the fat. You know, I just get wider.
Angle, I got a whole bunch of hard driving questions from some of the fans. What was the most money you made with Vince in a year? $5 million?
No, not even close. That's 2.5, and that's because listen to the conversation I had with Vince. I said, Vince, I have these wonderful ideas for merchant, and he goes, What do you mean? I said, I got these ideas, all kind of stuff, gimmicks and everything. He goes, Kurt, listen to me. I'm going to tell you one thing. You don't make money on merchandise. I said, well, I'd like to start, asshole. You know? And, you know, I'm seeing John Cena and Triple H and Rey Mysterio making all this money. And I'm like, I could do that too. I got all these great ideas. And he's like, no, we'll just give you a T-shirt. He goes, you make your money wrestling. He made me do it the hard way. John Cena and Rey Mysterio are cashing in because they got all these gimmicks and all these different items, merchandise, you know, shirts and wristbands and hats and even like hooded shirts and football jerseys. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I like, you know.
I mean, they could have done replica.
But the difference was I was signed to 30% of what I get in merchandise. They were only getting 5%. So when it came out to it, those guys weren't making much more than me because they had to sell 6 items to my 1.
They should have done replica gold medals. They should have done all that.
They
kind
did.
Of stuff.
They did. It sucked.
It did? Okay.
Yeah, they did. They put it's true on it, and I said that's horrible. I just came up with that idea.
You know? Who started? But, now let me ask you a question. Talk about your pills. I didn't know you were hooked. What were you hooked on? Painkillers?
Oh yeah, big.
Perks, Vikes?
Both.
Perks, Vikes, get the yellow bird.
Anything I get my hands on, bro. I was in the drugstore every 2 days.
God.
I made that first priority. It was so bad. And you know what, man? I got to a point where I called Vince and said, listen, I'm going to die. I said, I went to my pain doctor and I told him, listen, I gotta get off these. He goes, well, we'll wean you down. Go from whatever to whatever. I don't want to tell you the amount, but I'll tell you this: it's more than anybody has ever taken in the history of sports entertainment.
15 perks a day.
Oh, you're not even close, bro.
15 of the 3x500s or 3x3 or 10x325s.
The 10x325s, but way more than 15.
More than 15 yellowbirds a day.
Over 4 times that.
60 yellow birds a day? Kurt, you're lucky you're not dead.
Over that.
Bravo.
Kurt, how could you not be, how can your liver still be around?
You're not even real.
Believe it or not, thank the good Lord, and that's all I can do is thank God. Thank the good Lord that I'm healthy. I did no liver damage, no kidney damage. The way you can tell, anybody out there that's doing that, quit right away, because the way you can tell you have any kind of internal damage is if you pee Coca-Cola color. That dark brown color, that means it's irreversible. And I wasn't. I was peeing red, white, and blue.
Yeah, but Kurt, could you even get up? I mean,
that was a joke, man.
Listen, listen, you pussy. You couldn't. Could you even get a boner taking that many perks?
Yeah, man. I was like a stud.
Yeah, because you're taking Seattle. No,
never touched that shit, man. That's Big Show's thing.
Big Show. I can only imagine what he looks like with a boner.
Well, that son of a gun's going to have a heart attack. It takes 2 days.
Jesus, a 36-hour boner on the Big Show. My God.
God, can you imagine?
Have you seen it?
That's got to be gruesome.
I've never seen his cock. What's the Big Show's cock?
Well, you know what? He was naked next to me once in the locker room.
Right.
He went to turn around to get his towel, and he swung around, almost hit me in the face and gave me a black eye.
So his cock is as big as his body?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Karen. Do you finally got your shit together with her?
Oh, yeah, we're getting along great, man. Karen and I are like a team now.
Because you know that I've always been a huge Karen fan. You know that.
Yeah. She loves you, too. She actually wanted to get on air with you, but my daughter's taking a nap, and she won't sleep alone. So Karen's in there, and she's like, if she falls asleep, I'll come back and talk to Bubba. Yeah.
She loves you, man. We got to start having Karen on.
I think she has a crush on you, man.
Yeah, and wait till you see how the new Schvelte Bubba. She's really going to want to screw me now, I promise you. You used to tell me, man, Bubba, seriously, you can almost screw my old lady. You should see what I'm bringing to the table nowadays, Kurt. I'm telling you.
But, hey, I wanted to finish my story. I was on that stuff, And this was 3 years ago. And I called Vince and said, listen, I need to go to rehab. And he said, you're not going to rehab. He said, you're going to do it on the road. I called my doctor back. He goes, Kurt, that's impossible.
What do you mean do it on the road? I don't even understand.
Like cold turkey, you off.
Cold turkey on the road.
He had me work full-time. Well, I from that day on, I didn't take a pill. I didn't wean down or nothing. I told the doctor, I'm not weaning. I don't want to wean down. I want to stop today cold turkey. I don't want to take another pill. He goes, Kurt, you could die. I said, well, I'm going to take the chance. So I went. I had 3 days later, I had a pay-per-view with John Cena. Vince said, listen, you got to make him the knight so that at WrestleMania, we can make him look like a champion. He goes, it's up to you. So I went in there, and I did it. But I went in the mat. I was going through major withdrawal, and, like, I was beating the shit out of Cena for real. I was taking all my aggression out on Cena that I had on Vince.
Poor Cena.
He was looking at me like, why?
What are you doing, kid?
but then I said, fight back or I'm going to keep hurting you. started fighting back, and you know what? I got it out of him, because what we couldn't get out of him was the aggressiveness, the viciousness.
Right.
And he started fighting back, and we made it into a real war. And we went 37 minutes. It was an awesome match. It was a five-star match. When I got back, I just collapsed on my face.
So it probably looked pretty damn believable because you were in there shooting for real, beating the shit out of him.
Oh, I was kicking his ass, man. And then you know what I had him do is, I wanted to tell a good story that, you know what, this kid can't go with me wrestling, so I was making him look like an idiot. And then finally, we did a spot where he held the ropes, and I charged him, he backdropped me over the ropes, and then I had him street fight me outside, which makes sense. You know, John Cena is supposed to be a thug.
Right.
I figure, you know what, let him beat my ass outside the ring, then throw me in. Now he can shine a little bit, and it was a great story. And I talked him through the whole thing, and the finish was phenomenal, and it worked out great. And I made Cena, and he got ready for his WrestleMania match against JBL. And you know what, we were off to the races, so it made me proud that I was able to get through it. But at the same time, I was suffering, man. I was working 4 days a week wrestling plus one or two extra days doing appearances, signings, radio interviews, media days, radios and media days, and I was just getting run into the ground.
You never had any radio interviews like the Bubble the Love Sponge show now, did you, brother?
Well, you were having some problems back then. I'm surprised you weren't on pills, bro. Jeez,
well,
bless you.
You know I hang out with Hogan. I got my own Rattler, too. So
I know. I know what you've been through. But listen, you tell Terry I said hi, man.
Now,
I love that guy.
Now, hold on now.
You know what? Listen to me. He's the only guy, besides The Rock and Stone Cold, that I have to admit, both of them they tapped out to me. Hogan sat in a room with me. And he said, I want you to make me tap out. And you know what? No one's ever made Hogan tap out. So, Terry, you can understand that I have a lot of respect for him.
Now, Hogan seems to think somebody's got him worked into a shoot. You know Hogan's getting old and feeble, and he called the show yesterday, and you know how the fucking internet goes crazy. He thinks somebody told him. Well, here, I'll play it for you. Stand by.
I had something else I was going to say. I forgot. Oh, Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I want you guys to find out what he said about me.
Okay.
On the internet, because I heard he went off on me like a mother.
Okay, well, we'll find out. Well,
I mean, bad went off on me. I'm dying to hear this.
Can we conference call?
I want to hear what he said first,
man. Okay. If it depends on what he said, I got something to say to him.
Okay. Okay.
I'll say what I said to him, then I'll drive over to Orlando and get in the ring with him.
Well, he's under some misconception that you were talking some shit about him. And Kurt, I've never known you say anything bad about Terry.
I have never said a word about Terry. Whatever they heard is a bunch of bullcrap. The only thing that was even compared to him and me was that my move to TNA was as big of an impact as when Hogan went from WWE to WCW.
Oh, yeah, and that's
the only thing that was said.
Right.
Now, if he's upset about that, I have no idea why he didn't say that.
He's not upset.
I'll tell you right now, I respect Terry. I like Terry.
Whatever
was said, you tell him it's a lie, because I'll put my hand right on my daughter's life that I did not.
Now,
I did not say anything bad about Terry. He's always done business with me.
After Terry does WrestleMania 23, what's left? I mean, can you see him making the transition over to TNA?
Yeah, hell yeah, but you know what? I mean, Terry signed a 20-year deal with Vince.
I'm going to be honest with you, Kurt. I don't think that's a done deal.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what, man?
I don't think, I mean, I know I got firsthand knowledge.
Oh, tell Hogan, if he's serious, first of all, tell him that I didn't say crap about him.
We will.
And not that I'm scared of him. I'll kick his ass.
Well, he knows that, believe me.
No, I'm kidding.
Brent, I was at his house, and he goes, let me tell you something about that little fucking angle. I've locked up with that son of a bitch, and I had to say, easy, brother. Slow down, kid.
I have a tendency of being overly aggressive and very stiff.
He goes, that motherfucker's full of hammers. That kid needs to slow down.
First time I wrestled with him, I hit him in the back real hard with a club.
Right.
And he comes back. I clubbed him in the back, and he comes back. He goes, Olympic boy is El Stiffo.
I was at his house, man. We were in the little living room, and he's like, I go, you wrestled Angle this past week? And goes, he fucking locked up with me, and I had to say, easy, brother, easy. Slow down,
hey,
kid.
But I'll tell you this. We had a match at King of the Ring, and he will tell you, that match was five-star. We had one of the best matches. We had the best match on the card that night.
Now, when you wrestle Hogan, does he call the deal, or did you call the deal, or what?
You know what? I let Terry call, man. He's the man.
Right.
You know what? I call all my matches unless I have faith in the guy. And
right.
Terry, you know, Hulk Hogan is an icon. Let's face it. He drew more money than anybody. Him and Austin. I mean, although I let Austin call the match with me, but 99% of the time I call the match.
Yeah, I knew that.
But when I wrestle someone like Hogan, you know, he's the man. I let him tell me what to do because he knows how to get this crowd. I know how to do it, but you know, this guy has so much experience. He knows what he's doing out there, and he knows exactly how to get this crowd.
And Hogan, you know what? The common denominator. Hogan always tells everybody, Brent, every match he's ever wrestled, the first thing he always tells the kid is, slow down, slow down. Isn't that right, Kirk?
Yeah.
Slow down, brother.
Well, before he goes out, he goes, listen, people are already here. Because we don't got to do much. They're here. They ain't going nowhere.
I can get 6 or 7 minutes outside the ring just tearing my fucking shirt off, kid. Slow down.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly. But you know what? You tell him that I love him and I have a lot of respect for him. If he heard anything bad, I want to know where the source came from because I'll make them tap out.
Now, listen, I want to come over to Orlando, man, because we're only 75 miles away and come see you.
Oh, but I'm telling you, I just talked to Dixie Carter with TNA, and she said, you're more than welcome to be a part of the show, man.
I'd love to, man.
I said, he lives an hour and a half away.
Yeah, oh, hell, if that. And I just don't want to go over there.
I said, get him on the show, man. Let me beat his ass.
No, see, I'm not going to go out there. Brent, you know what? Like, remember when I got ribbed by the Big Show?
Oh, yeah. Double choke slam.
Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
Fucking Hogan says, hey, brother, it's Monday Night Raw. 18,000 people. We can send a fat DJ out there in a cage match, and me and Sting will be out there to help you, kid. And so I go out there, waddle my fat ass out there, and all of a sudden him and Sting abandon the deal, and it's me and Big Show.
Oh, my God.
And Big Show goes, oh, and then they fucking did a double shoot style, a double choke slam on me and knocked me out.
You know what? Hogan had thought that all up, man.
Oh, yeah, of course he did, that son of a bitch.
Yeah, you being his best friend, he'd do that to you.
Motherfucker. Hey, we got to tell you hi from another good friend of ours that always always loves the shit out of you. And I'm glad he's actually getting a pretty good little push now. But Test always tells us to tell you hi.
You know what? He's a good guy, and it's about time they did something with him. I had some say in, you know, what was going on and who I thought would be, you know, who I'd like to work with and who I thought they should start, you know, basically, you know, taking to the top and pushing them. It was Test, and they never did. And then when they let him go, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And then when he came back, he looks 10 times better.
God, he looks good.
His wrestling skills are even better. And you know what? They put me in ECW, and I'm like, who the hell am I going to work with? I got RVD, and then I got Sabu, who likes to use chairs. So I worked with 10 million times, but the Test came in. I said, oh, thank God I got somebody I can work with. And we never got to that point. So
I hope Vince uses him right this time, or I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him defect over to your deal. I mean, how about Jericho? What's up with him? Is he going to stop being a rock star and come work again, or what?
Well, with his performance on that singing show, I'd say he has to come back. You know what? I was surprised that he wasn't on the other rock show. What's it called?
Dancing with the Stars?
Rockstar.
Yeah.
Supernova.
Rockstar, whatever. Yeah.
Supernova.
I mean, Chris is so charismatic, and basically when he sings, he's screaming, you know?
Yeah.
Now they put him in a limited singing thing where he has to literally sing like normal and give high pitch and low pitch. And Chris isn't that good at, like, just singing a regular, slow, romantic song. Chris is a loud, crazy rock star kind of guy. And I think he would have done tremendously well in the rock star thing where they're trying to build that band. You know, he might not have won it, but that kid.
I like to see Jarrett bring him over, too, man. I mean, Chris was always a great worker.
And one thing about Chris, he wasn't only a great wrestler. He never got hurt.
Never.
He never missed a match until he took one vacation. That's it. He never missed a house show or a TV. He is the only guy in the business to ever do that.
How about Albert?
A-Train's kicking ass over in Japan. I wouldn't leave if I were him. He's getting big money.
Yeah. Have you thought about going over and picking up $3-4 million over in Japan, Kurt?
Well, that's been said, but that's been said more on Pride. Pride has offered me $30 million for 5 years.
What?
Those Pride fighters are no joke.
They offer me 3 fights a year, $1 million a fight, plus $1 million in endorsements for each fight. So it's $2 million a fight. That would be $6 million a year for 5 years, $30 million.
And what'd you tell them?
I told him, hold on.
Man, those pride fighting guys are no joke, man.
I tell you, though, in closing,
You know what? If it were 7 years ago, I would have said yes right away. But you know what? I'm past my prime. That doesn't mean I can't go in there and win. But, you know, like Randy Couture, I'll give you an example. He's past his prime, but that son of a bitch can still find a way to win. It's just that, you know, with my neck injuries and everything else, and I lost about 30-40% strength in both of my arms because I have problems with circulation in my arms. I actually have to work my triceps every other day to get blood in them because my neck won't allow the nerve and the blood vessels won't run down my arm into my...
Well, you don't have a neck, Kurt. You never had a neck.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's unfortunate because now I really don't have a neck. It's 22 inches now.
TNA Impact is on Thursday nights at 11 p.m. with Kurt Angle. This Sunday on pay-per-view. Now, are you in the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I'm the ringside enforcer of the main event.
And then TNA Impact moves to 9 o'clock on November 16th.
Listen, hey, Bob, if you want to go to our opening of our primetime, I guarantee we're gonna probably do about 2.5 to 3 times our rating. I'd love to get you there.
I'd love to be there. I'm just not gonna go in there where you fucking kick my ass.
Oh, dude, all we have to do we'll either put you in some kind of angle somewhere or hell, all you have to do is sit ringside.
I've worked a little bit before. You know that, don't you?
Well, yeah, I know that. But you know what? The thing is, you're a household name, bro.
I mean, you're
a celebrity. We put you in the crowd. You stand up. We tell them, hey, there's Bubba Love Sponge, the low life.
Low life?
And
who wants to screw my wife? This is Bubba Love Sponge.
Yeah, they want to talk about my wife giving me Dutch ovens.
Remember you used to say, we used to have her on the air and said, like, Kurt had to get a step stool to screw me doggy style?
Yeah, because she's so damn tall. And I'm too damn short.
But listen, Kurt, you know, can we start having you on like once a week just to shoot the shit? Because, you know, we love you guys.
Believe it or not, I just talked to my manager, and I wanted to talk to you about having not a segment on your show, but I wanted to be on your show every week.
I do. We can have a specific time, whether it be on Tuesdays or whether it be before the TNA, whatever. You just tell us what works out.
Yeah,
I'd like to have you on.
Bob, I want to do that with you, man. Not just because I like you, but I think it'll help TNA. And obviously, I enjoy being on your show. At least I can be me and not be like, you know, yes, ma'am, yes, sir.
You can cuss. You can say bullshit. You can say I was with Karen last night and she gave me some head. And you can say
blow me, Bubba.
You can say blow me, Bubba. And you can say, man, Karen's got the hottest box in the world. And Jesus,
you can and say she does. You know what? And she likes anal sex too.
She likes anal.
Oh, that's so steamy.
Oh, that's steamy. Does she like lick the balls?
Oh, you know what? Unfortunately, after about 2 years, I've given her hemorrhoids, so it's a little harder now.
Not with. Now maybe Big Show gave her hemorrhoids, but not with your equipment, Kurt.
You know what? I'm not going to say this. If you're listening, Big Show's never hit on my wife, but he thinks that she's just as beautiful as his wife.
Who's that?
Big Show.
Big Show thinks that.
I'll tell you one thing I would never. Big Show, I'm scared of, but I'm almost more scared of his wife because she'll kick your ass, too.
You know what? I know. Best is that's one girl you don't want to mess with.
You know what? She's a good person, man. And she runs a tight ship with Paul, does she not?
Well, if it weren't for her, Big Show wouldn't be where he is, man.
Well, and he'd probably be dead.
He's on his ass. I know.
Kurt, man, listen.
If you ever wrote a book about Big Show, you wouldn't believe the shit he went through.
I met Big Show. Listen to this. I met Big Show two nights before Halloween Havoc in Detroit, before he first got into the business with Hogan. We're at this nightclub, and this fucking animal walks in, and he tells you, my name's whatever the hell his name was, Paul. And I'm like, it was two nights before Halloween Havoc, before he broke in with Hogan. Isn't Hogan one of the guys who found him in Tulsa or something like that?
Oh, he's completely responsible that Big Show got him, that Big Show became champion first night. Hogan built a monster with Big Show, and that shows, you know, everybody thinks Terry's unselfish. Terry saw money in this guy, and he was gonna let Big Show carry the company for a while. And Hulk did the right thing, man. I mean, you know, Terry knows how to draw money. Put it this way: if he was running a promotion, I'd work for him.
Yeah, I'd like to see you go. No disrespect to TNA. I want you to do well there. But I'll tell you one thing, Kurt. You talk about a moneymaker. If he could fight UFC, Brent, oh my God!
Well, we're still in the works of that. We just got to talk about a non-exclusive contract.
Now, see, TNA would probably TNA. They could almost cross promote, could they not?
Yeah, because you're all on
TV. Yeah, well, TNA's all for it. They want it to happen, but UFC wants exclusive. They don't. He said this is what Dana White quoted: "You're either real or not real." And I'm trying to tell Dana, listen.
I'm both, bitch.
You have no idea how real pro wrestling is. I said, you know, your guys don't have to take bumps and get jarred around and hurt your neck and back and this and that, and get thrown over the top of the cage
and wrestle, you know, six nights a week. You know,
yeah, I said, you guys train and then you get ready for a fight. I said, I did that in the Olympics. I know that's hard. I know how hard it is to train and get ready. I trained like nobody else. That's why I won the Olympics, not because I was better than anybody or smarter or bigger or faster. It's because I was more conditioned than anybody. And that's why when I fight in UFC, if I go against Liddell or Ortiz or Couture or whoever it is, I even take little Matt Hughes because he's what is he, about 170 pounds.
You gotta fight Tito or Liddell, and I think.
Well, the thing is, if it goes into the third period, they're all mine.
Well, Kurt, you gotta get. I mean, Liddell said he's gonna fucking smack the shit out of you striking style.
Well, that's the problem. I'm not gonna let him, man. I'll throw up in the ball and suck my thumb before he does that.
Now, let me ask you a question. In closing, Kurt, I got to get going, but in closing.
Well, when did you get proper? What's this in closing bullshit?
Well, listen to me, motherfucker. Give me your prediction. If you fought Tito Ortiz, what would happen? Give me your prediction.
Referee decision.
Well, it would go three.
Yeah,
you couldn't get him to tap out on a rear naked or something like that.
No, you know what? I don't know. I don't know enough submission holds yet to be able to do that. Tito does, but I wouldn't let him get me into it. Pretty much, I would dominate him on the ground.
But you've never been hit before, Kurt.
Tito is the kind of guy that can pull something out of his pocket. See, the one thing is he's probably the most dangerous guy because I think he is overall the most versatile fighter there is. You know, he's not only good at striking, at wrestling, at jiu-jitsu, at grounding and pounding. He knows it all. And you know what? He's got a good mind, a good vision. He knows how to use the octagon to his advantage. He's very witty.
Kurt, have you ever been hit before? Have you ever been hit in the head?
Oh, damn, man.
I mean, boxing
I've had guys, listen, I told, you know what? You can tell Tess this. Tess and I got in an argument once, and he said, Angle, I can knock you out in 10 seconds. I said, listen, Tess, first of all, it's going to take more than one punch to knock me out. And I said, if our fight goes longer than 2 minutes, you're all mine.
Listen, bro. Listen, bro.
I said, you'll be sucking your thumb. I'll be pounding the shit out of you.
Andrew goes, listen, bro. I'll give you 3 Vikes and 2 perks and leave me alone, bro.
You know what? You know what? No, Tess is a tough son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, man. He's a bad motherfucker. He's a good kid, too, man. Hey, Kurt, let's get you on once a week talking some shit and maybe not necessarily talk to you as much as we can talk to Karen if we could.
You know what? Karen will be on next time. I'm going to call my manager right now, and I'm going to set him up. I'm going to have him call you guys. I got your number right now.
Yep.
Put him on hold real quick.
And I even talked to David about it. I said, listen, we need to get Bubba every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me, Kurt, put you on hold. I'll give you the spice. We'll get the numbers and shit. And more importantly, you've been a friend for a long, long time, and I can't wait to keep having you on once a week, my man.
All right, man. Watch me on TNA, bro.
And don't fuck it up with Karen this time, because some stud like me will come and swoop that shit up, bitch. I'm telling you.
Well, that's what I'm nervous about.
Seriously. Get your shit together, kid.
I got it together. I'm ready to go, and I got my family life together, man.
All right, Kurt, I love you. Hold on a second, buddy, okay?
Love you.